We're holding on Samaches Amr Aleph, 8th line. We left off, we're trying to work out how we know that there are certain kinds of Jewish women where Kiddushin aren't Tofus. There's also, of course, that Kiddushin aren't Tofus with a Shifcho, with a Goita, that we're going to deal with next piece of Gemara. But right now we're dealing with the third category of our Mishnah, which is women who are an erva to one man, and Kiddushin aren't Tofus with him, but they'd be perfectly mutter to somebody else. So we're discussing how, in fact, we know Kiddushin aren't Tofus with them. Whether we're asking this, whether it's needed to know this according to everybody, or whether particularly Rashi had said that Rashi had implicitly said the question is according to everybody, because even though we know that there are, that in such cases the child would be a mamzer, but the Gemara needs to figure out how do we know that the child being a mamzer equals Kiddushin not being Tofus between the parents. Tosfos, on the other hand, had said the question is strictly according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says a mamzer is only from Chayve Nisus Beis Din. So then the question, but there are lots of arayas that are Chayve Koris, and Kiddushin aren't Tofus, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, there's not necessarily a connection between those two things. So how do we know then that the Kiddushin aren't Tofus by all of them? So we went through a whole thing that we learned from the fact you have the list of, ultimately we said, you have the list of arayas in Parshas Achrimos, and it says a hekesh between all of them, ki kol asher yasin kol ateva se'eva, and one of them is a chos isha, and we established based on other psukim that a chos isha, kiddushin aren't tofus, as long as one's wife is alive, even if he divorced her, he's not allowed to marry her sister, and if he does, kiddushin aren't tofus. So the same thing, all the other ones as well. So now the Gemara says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov omar asi b'kav chomim yivama. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says we have a different way of learning that all of the arayas that kiddushin aren't tofus with them, with the exception we learned yesterday of a nida, even though a nida is an erva and there is a chiyuv koris, nevertheless you have a different pasuk that says that that implies that kiddushin are still tofus with her. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov omar asi b'kav chomim yivama. You can make a kav chomer from the case of a yivama. Who wants to marry out without chalitza or yivam? Or my yivama she belav madach with her. It's only a lav. The Torah says loisia eishes anes hachutzal eishes are. There's no kores and no mishas vestin involved. Loi tapsi b'kedushin and kedushin are not tofus in her. Which is in fact a machlokas in the Gemara in Yivamas, where you have the opinions of Rav and Shmuel over there, where Rav says that Kiddushin are not Tofus, and Shmuel says, we're not sure. Anyway, Chayvim Missus, for Chayvim Krisus, like Kol Shekin, then how much more so about the other Arayas, which are Chayvim Krisus or Missus based in, that Kiddushin shouldn't be Tofus. Now, Tosfos points out, can't you slug that up? You could say that a nida, on the other hand, is chayev koris, and kiddushin are tofus, as we learned before. But Tosfos says this isn't really a kav chomer. This is really what's called gili milsa ba'alma. This is demonstrating that all the arayas are in a certain category, and therefore we can't really say, okay, but you find that a nida is not in that category because the point is you have all the other ones are. So you can't really slug it up. So therefore, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that's another way of learning that the arayas that kiddushin are not tofus. If even a yivama sheba lav, how much more so the chayvim krisus and missus basedin? Well, the question is the other way around. Then in that case, by that logic, shouldn't the same thing apply to all the other chayvim lavin? So for example, a mamzer or a mamzeres to a ben or bas yisrael, etc. Kiddushin shouldn't be tofus with those either, and we know that it is, as our Mishnah had said. And the answer is, Amar Papa, Chayvi Lavin Behed Yuxi Bahu. When it comes to Chayvi Lavin, you have a clear posik that says the contrary. Namely, the posik describes the case, Kisi Yenela Ish Shtei Noshin. A man has two wives, Ha'achas Ahuva Ha'achas Snua. One is loved and one is hated, and the posik goes on to say that if the hated one has his firstborn son, then he still has to give him a double portion, even though he doesn't want to. Now, You have to ask, what does that mean? How do you have someone who's hated by Hashem or somebody who's beloved by Hashem? Meaning, in other words, obviously, there's no reason to think that the father's love or hatred for one of his wives should make a difference as far as the Yerusha for her children, that the Pasuk should have to tell them otherwise. In other words, the Pasuk should have just said, Rashi says, the Pasuk should have just said, he has to recognize the Bechor and give him a double portion, and it doesn't really matter then what the father thinks of the mother. And Tosfos adds, you can't say that it means that the wives themselves are a tzaddikus and a reshas, because then again, what's the logic? Because the mother is a reshas, therefore we would have a habamin to think that the son would lose out, and therefore the Pasuk has to tell us otherwise. So no, therefore, we're going to understand that the Gemara says, Ahuva means Ahuva b'nisuel, Snua means Snua b'nisuel. The Ahuva and the Snua refer to something as far as their marriage. To begin with, their marriage was beloved by Hashem because there was no issue in it, versus it's hated by Hashem because it's over on one of his mitzvahs. So now we understand the chiddush of the pasuk. You would think, since the marriage to begin with was flawed, there was some kind of issue in it, then maybe that should affect the child as well, and he shouldn't be considered the bechor, he shouldn't be considered his son for all purposes, and shouldn't receive a double portion, and the pasuk to say, nevertheless, he does. The Tosfos Rosh actually adds an interesting point as well, since the pasuk says ki siyena leish shtei nashim ha'achas ahuva va'achas snua, and we've been discussing throughout the sugya that the word tiyena, or other words from that shurdish, from the shurdish oya, refer to kiddushin, then the implication is we're not talking about that the two wives are one's loved and one's hated because one's a tzedekis and one's not. Rather, we have to be talking about the becoming his wife in the first place, in one case was Ahuva and in the other case was Snua. V'kam rachmona kisiyena. And yet the pasuk calls it kisiyena, implying that even though it's Snua, even though there's something wrong with this marriage, Nevertheless, the child doesn't lose his status as a bechor, and he still receives a double portion. The point being, though, that we see that kiddushin are tofus in that case. Otherwise, the Torah wouldn't have said the expression tiyen. It would have used some other expression. So what we do is, again, we do a kavachomer, or Tosfos says it's really more gilui milsa ba'alma, from Yevama, that she's an Isur Lav and Kedushin aren't Tofus. From that, we can learn to all Chrisis and Mrs. based in. The other Chayve Lav, on the other hand, given this Pasuk, Kisiyena Leish, then we say that Abba, they're not included. Now, further on, the Gemara is going to ask about how we know then that it refers to Chayve Lav. Maybe it refers to Chayve Esa, because we learned the other day, and we're going to learn more, in the upcoming few blocks and in the next parak, that there are a couple of cases where there's an isur esser for a man to marry a certain woman, not a lav. So how do we know? The pasuk is not talking about those and saying maybe if they were over on an isur esser, then the kiddushin are chal, and we can say tikisiyen al ishtei noshim, but not by an isur lav. We'll get back to that point soon. But first, before we do that, we have to ask Ulu Rav Akiva. Now, what about, according to Rav Akiva, the Omar, where he says, and we've learned this before, Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'Chayve Lavin, he says Kedushin are in fact not effective with Chayve Lavin. Now, we don't actually find Rav Akiva saying that in so many words. What he says is that, we infer it, Tadashi points out, we infer it from a Mishnah in Yevamos, where Rav Akiva says something, we also infer it from the fact that before we said Rav Akiva says that from Chayve Lavin you have Mamzerim, which the other Tanoim disagree with, and the rule is, we've been saying so far, that whenever there's Mamzerus, then Kiddushin are not Tofus. So according to Rav Akiva, Kiddushin are not Tofus in Chayve Lavin. So according to him, Kisiyena b'mayim mukim. So how is he going to understand what is the Kisiyena referring to? According to him, what is Kisiyena referring to? It can't refer to Chayve Lavin and saying that that's why the marriage is hated by Hashem, because according to him, Chayve Lavin, in fact, Kedushin wouldn't be effective. So what is the case that he's referring to? Well, Honicha The Gemara answers, v'ma'ba'amon al-kohen gadol u'chureb simoi. He would understand that the pasuk is talking about the specific case where a kohen gadol marries an almona, which he's not allowed to do, but Rabbi Akiva would agree that in that case, the child is not a mamzer, even though there's an isur lav, u'chureb simoi. And that would be like the way Rabbi Simoi understands Rabbi Akiva, which also we learned the other day. The Tanya, Rabbi Simoi, Omer, Rabbi Akiva held that any kind of marriage that is also Rabbi Akiva will say the child is a mamzer, with the exception of the almana of the kohen gadol. The pasuk says that a kohen gadol should not marry an almana, so he doesn't desecrate his children. Which we learn from that. Chilulim oise, vein oise mamzerus. All that's accomplished by a kohen gadol marrying an almana, he makes the children a chalol. And he makes her a chalala, but he doesn't make mamzerus. So therefore, so you have one case of a chayvet lavin where Rabbi Akiva says kedushin or toifus. Very well then, he will understand that the kisiyena le'ishtei nashim is referring to that. A kohen gadol who married two wives, one of whom was mutter to him, and the other was an almana who was not. Nevertheless, the almana's son, even though he's a cholol, is also the bechor and gets a double portion. Well, the Gemara asks, Ulor Rabbi Yishevav. Now, what about though? You have Rabbi Simoi's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Simoi is saying that Rabbi Akiva is limiting his rule about Namzerus and about Kedushin not being Tofus to Chayvei Lavin. And even that, he's making an exception for the Almon of the Kohen Gadol. But what about according to Rabbi Yishevav's understanding of Rabbi Akiva? The Amar Boyu and Saveach al Akiva ben Yosef, he said we should come and yell out about in protest against Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Shevav was one of Rabbi Akiva's chaverim, so he can call him by his personal name. Where Rabbi Akiva is saying any case where the bia is also among Jews, then the child is a mamzer. So then according to Rabbi Shevav's understanding, that would mean that also the Amon of the Kohen Gadol was included. Well, so then we have to ask that there's two ways of understanding Rabbi Shevav's statement. If you say about Rabbi Shevav, Ila Pukim, Rabbi Simoi Kasi, if you're going to say that Rabbi Shevav is coming in reaction to what Rabbi Simoi said. So he's not saying a blanket statement that every single Bia Asura is Osir. He's saying, Rabbi Simoi, you're making an exception for an Amon Alakoyin Gadol. There's no such exception. Rabbi Akiva does not agree of such an exception. However, though, Rabbi Yishevav would implicitly be saying that Rabbi Akiva does agree that when there's only an Isser Esser, like we talked about the other day, for example, a Mitzri, a first-generation Mitzri, or a Dermi Ger marrying a Jewish woman, or Gioras marrying a Jewish man, then Shapir, then good, then we can say that even according to Rabbi Yishevav, Rabbi Akiva is not saying that every single Bia Asura produces a Mamzer, only with a Lav, so he doesn't make the exception for Amon of the Kohen Gadol, but he would say Rabbi Akiva agrees when there's an Isser Esser that there's no Mamzerus. Well, very well then, the Pasuk Yisiyena Le'ishtei Nashim can refer to where one of the wives is an Isser Esser, so one of them is a born Jewish woman or a mitzvah already of the third generation, which is considered like a Jewish woman for that purpose, and the other one is a mitzvah Rishonah or Shmiya or whatever. So then you could say that the pasuk can still be made to work out. Ela itayma de nafshe kamar. But you have another way of understanding Rabbi Shevav. What he's saying when he's arguing against Rabbi Akiva, his statement may not be connected with Rabbi Simoi's at all. Rabbi Akiva is saying that that all Isuri Lavin produce Mamzerim. Rabbi Yishevav is protesting and saying that actually Rabbi Akiva means that all Isurim, even Isuri Eser, produce a Mamzer and Kedushin or Toifus. So if we understand Rabbi Yishevav that way, v'may mukim la, then how would he understand the pasuk Kisiyena le'ishtei nashim, given that we're saying that it has to mean that one of these wives is an issur in her marriage, and yet there's tiyena, and yet there's kedushin. If you say that Rabbi Shevav understands Rabbi Akiva to mean that every single issur, even if it's only an issur esser, produces a mamzer, then what is the case of a snua where there's still kedushin? And the answer is, So if Rabbi Sheva is saying his own independent statement, not tied to Rabbi Simoi's statement, and therefore he would understand Rabbi Akiva as saying that even Chayva Esa produce a mamzer and tradition on kerfus, but my mukim law. So how would he understand the pasuk kisi yenalish? And the answer is the ulo lekoin gadol. He would understand that it's referring to the case where a Kohen Gadol marries a woman who's already had relations. We know the Torah tells us about a Kohen Gadol, who isha v'soleha yikach, he's required to marry a v'sola. Implicit in that is a loisa said that he shouldn't marry anybody else, that he shouldn't marry a b'ola. But it never says lo yikach b'ola, or words to that effect. All it says is he should marry a b'sola, and from that we infer that he can't marry a b'ola. So that's a lava b'mikal eser. So therefore, and Rabbi Akiva would say, and even Rabbi Sheva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva would say that's not going to produce a manzer. And the Gemara says Maishna. So Taka, what's the difference? After all, it's also an Esser, and according to Rabbi Sheva's understanding, even an Isser Esser it produces a manzer and kedushan on Tefus. The reason is Mishum Dehavalei Esser Shein Shav Bakol, because after all, it's an Esser that does not apply equally to all the Jewish people. The other Essers, the Mitzri or Jaini in the first or second generation, that applies across the board to all Jews. Therefore, Rabbi Sheva can understand Rabbi Akiva to be saying that's serious enough that kedushin aren't tofus, etc. But when it comes to a b'ula, the Kohen Gadol, where A, it's only an esser, and B, it's an esser that applies only to the Kohen Gadol, then even Rabbi Sheva would agree that Rabbi Akiva does not consider the child from that to be a manzer, and kedushin would be tofus. Well then, therefore, Rabbi Akiva can understand the pasuk shtei noshim about that. A Kohen Gadol has two wives, which, by the way, I mean, a Kohen Gadol, if he has two wives, is going to have to divorce one of them before Yom Kippur, or else he can't do the avodah. But we're not getting into that right now. The point is, if he has two wives, then and one of them is an amot, and one of them is a ba'ul, and one of them was a basula, like it's supposed to be, and the other one is a ba'ula, then you can say one is ahuva and one is snua, because one of them he was not supposed to marry, the ba'ula. Nevertheless, her child, the pasuk is telling us, her child is still a b'chor, nevertheless, kedushin or tofus, because kisiyena, the child is still considered his child for all purposes, and he's a b'chor and he gets a double portion. Okay. Well then, now we have to ask back on the chachamim. V'rabbanon, adam muki lo b'chai v'lavin. Well, the chachamim, so what are we saying so far? They're understanding that pasuk kisiyena is referring to the chayve lavin. They would say, again, krisus and missus based in, it's true, kedushin aren't tofus. But we learn from what we said before about the yavama, or that chayve lavin, that kedushin are still tofus. Well, the question is, why do they understand the pasuk that way? Ad muki lo b'chayve lavin, instead of saying that pasuk refers to chayve lavin, notma b'chayve eser. Why instead don't they understand it to be referring to chayve eser, similar to the way Rabbi Akiva does? And then the result would be that chayve lavin kedushin are not tofus. So how do we know that not? The answer is hani chayve eser b'mayin ninhu, because you have to ask what kind of chayve eser are we talking about? Ishtein mitzrius, if to begin with, both of them are mitzvi giyoros from the first or second generation. Well, then shtei and snuos, then both of them are snuol of nehamakim, and the pasuk is implying that you have to have achas ahuva v'achas snua. Are you going to say achas mitzvis v'achas yisraelis? And if you're going to say one is a mitzvis of the first or second generation, and the other one is a regular yisraelis, well, of course, then one would indeed be Ahuva and the other one Snua. The problem with that is, Shtei Noshim Me'am Echad Be'inan. Since the pasuk is Shtei Noshim, then the implication is the two wives have to be similar. They have to both be from one nation. Otherwise, the Torah didn't have to say the word Shtei Noshim. It could have said something like Kisiyan Al-Ish, Isha Ahuva V'Isha Snua, or something to that effect. The fact that it says Shtei Noshim implies we have to be talking about two women who have a certain commonality between them, namely that they both come from one nation. And it can't be that, it can't even be the Ritva adds, you can't say that it means or the Rashba rather says, you can't say that it means that one of them is a second generation mitzvahs and the other one is a third generation mitzvahs, because a third generation mitzvahs, or a domus for that matter, is allowed already to marry freely into the Jewish people. Therefore, she's already not considered a mitzvahs or an domus anymore. She's considered a full-fledged Jewish woman. And you're back to that she wouldn't be in the same category as a mitzvahs shenis, and therefore you wouldn't say they're from one people. So therefore, it can't. So, and the only other case of an isu eser you have in a marriage is where a kohen gadol marries a woman who's already had relations before. The problem is, does the pasuk say that if a kohen has two wives? It doesn't. It says that it says if a man has two wives, implying that the pasuk cannot be talking about a case that's specific to a kohen. It has to be talking about something that applies across the board that could potentially happen with any Jew. And therefore, that excludes Ba'ul of a kohen gadol. Mitzvahs we already excluded because we said it has to be shtei noshim from one nation. So the Chachamim are saying, look, by process of elimination, you have no isurei eser that the pasuk could be referring to. Therefore, necessarily, the pasuk has to be referring to chai v'lad. V'Rabbi Akiva, so what does Rabbi Akiva answer back to that? He says, listen, Ba'al Korchach, Shav Gilakra, as of necessity, you're going to have to leave the pasuk and explain it that it refers to a ba'ul of a kohen gadol, because they have a dochek and mukin nafshe, because it's true, it's a dochek to understand the pasuk that way, but the pasuk necessarily requires us to say that way. Given that Rabbi Akiva learns in a different way that kedushin aren't tofus with chai v'lavin, and yet we have this pasuk implying that when there's an iser, then kedushin are tofus. So the only alternative is to say that it's referring to, and given fine, Rabbi Akiva says, I agree, it can't be referring to a mitzvah because then that wouldn't be shtei noshim. But fine, of necessity, the pasuk has to be referring to a situation involving a kohen gadol. It says kisiyen al ishan, not kisiyen al koyin. Okay, but nevertheless, we have no choice but to understand the pasuk as referring to that specific case, just because otherwise there's nothing else that could possibly be referring to. Actually, Rashi says it could actually. So you have two possibilities. According to one understanding of Rabbi Akiva, it could be referring to the mitzvahs, and we would have to say, even though it says shtei noshim, we're going to have to ignore that and say that it just means two wives, as in dibra tora kolosh ne'adam, but it doesn't mean that the two wives have to be similar to one another. Or according to Rabbi Yeshayahu, you would have to limit it specifically to the case of the ba'ul of a kohen gadol, even though the pasuk says kisiyen al ish rather than kisiyen al kohen. It's true. Either way, that would be a doichet. But Rabbi Akiva figures you have no choice because according to him, that chai v'lav and kedushin are not tofus, which he learns elsewhere in a different way, and therefore we have no choice over here but to say that the snua has to be an isur esse of some kind. Okay, so that's that. So that's another way of learning that kedushin are not tofus, are tofus with chai v'lavin and with chai v'eser, according to the Chachamim, and with neither of those, according to the Akiva, or at least not with all chai v'eser. But on the other hand, we said before, krisis and misses based in not, because we learn from a gilui milsa ba'al, either because we said before, because we learn from the fact that there's a hekesh between all the arayas. And therefore, we say once we establish that kedushin can't be tofus with achos ishtoi, then they're not tofus with any of the arayas, with the exception we said of a nida. Or we're saying that Achaba Yaakov's way of learning it is that we're learning from a gilui milsa ba'alma, where we find by a yivama that kedushin are not tofus, and therefore any place where there's krisis or missus based in, then also kedushin aren't tofus. So okay, that covers the third category of our Mishnah. So far we've covered the first category, which was where there's kedushin and no aveira, then the child's status follows the father. We covered the second one, that where there's kedushin and there is an aveira, then an isur lav, for example, then the child follows the status of the pogum, whichever one of the two parents has the lesser yichus. We've now covered the third case where there's no kedushin between this man and this woman, but she would be able to receive kedushin from others, namely arayas, where we said kedushin aren't tofus, and the child is a mamzer. Now we come to the fourth category in the Mishnah, which was, we said, v'chol mishe'ema ola v'chola. We said any case where kedushin are impossible with this woman, not with this man, and not with any other man, namely a goita or shikha. Then we said v'loda kamoisa, her child has the same status as her. So let's work that out. Shifcha knanis minolon. Where do we know this concept by a shifcha knanis first? Amar Rav Huna, Omar Kro, because the pasuk says by the Akedah, where Avraham tells his attendants, Shvulachem poi imachamur. You stay here with the donkey, which implies, what does he have to say? Imachamur means am hadoim alachamur. You, the nation that is like a donkey, meaning in other words, the same way as when a donkey has a baby. You don't say it's this particular mother's baby, but you don't attribute it to the father. Genetically, of course, the donkey comes half from his father, but as far as halacha is concerned, we don't do that. The Gemara elsewhere actually talks about maybe you do have a concept of choshesh in lezera, maybe we are concerned for it, but in general in halacha we say that not. A father donkey and a baby donkey are not considered to have any relationship in halacha. For example, as far as the halacha of Osev Esbenoi, you're not allowed to shech a parent and a child animal on the same day. It would refer to, for example, a mother ox and a baby calf, but not the father. Anyway, mother cow and the baby calf, whatever, but not to the father, the ox. So the same way over here, amad jaymal chamer means that we don't. So here actually we're focusing more first. Actually, we're not focusing so much first on how we know that the child follows her. That we're going to deal with soon. Rather, we're focusing how we know kedushin aren't tofus. So that's much more straightforward. Kedushin are not tofus with a donkey. Similarly, kedushin are not tofus with an eved or a shifcha. The Ritva actually points out, now who are these two na'orim that Avraham is talking with? One of them was Eliezer, his faithful servant. So him, we can say, he's an Eved. Where do we get from here a Goy? So the Ritva says, evidently the second one who was along with him, now Medroshim say the second one was Yishmael. But the Ritva says, our Gemara is evidently not taking that view. And besides which, anyway, why would we call him Naroi? We would call him Bnoi or something like that. So therefore, the Ritva says, evidently our Gemara is assuming the second person along with Eliezer must have been some Goy. So therefore, we can learn from that both a shivcha, but both when it comes to an eved or shivcha, and when it comes to a goy or goita, that kiddushin aren't tofus because they're compared to a chamor. There is actually a very interesting thing from the Beis Halevi, from Rabbi Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, who gives an explanation why, of all places, is the Torah highlighting this din over here in connection with the Akedah. And he says a very interesting idea. We know that years earlier, Hashem had told Avraham, Kibi Yitzchok Yikara L'chazora, only Yitzchok is going to be considered your legitimate descendant, Yishmael is not. So okay, Avraham knew that, and he took that as a given. If Hashem says so, then that's how it is. So now, though, when it came to the Akedah, and Hashem is telling him on the face of it to Shech Yitzchok, so Avraham is thinking to himself, well, you know what? That might weaken my Emunah and what Hashem said before. I might start thinking that Yishmael is actually considered my legitimate descendant. So therefore, the Beis Halevi learns, no, not like the Ritva, that the second one over here was not Yishmael. It was, in fact, Yishmael, like it says in the Pesukim. And Avraham is reinforcing to himself, no, Yishmael is Am HaDoim Al-Hamur, and he's not considered my son as far as Hashem is concerned. And therefore, even though I don't understand how it's going to be now, because Yitzchak is going to be shechted, nevertheless, I'm not second-guessing Hashem. So therefore, that's why the Torah highlights it over here, because this is, in effect, Avraham himself reinforcing, by saying Imachamur, reinforcing to himself that Yishmael has a different status. Anyway, so that takes care of how we know that Kedushin are not tofus with an Eved or Shivcha, or with a Goy or Goit. So Ashkechon de la Tafsi Bokidushi, fine, so that takes care of how we know Kedushin are not tofus with her. Vlada Kemosa Menolon, how do we know that the child of a Shivcha has the status of her father, and how do we know by the case of a Goita? So we're going to do one at a time. Tosfos asks, why do we even need to ask that? I mean, in the Mishnah, we already had the third category, which was Kol Mokum Shiyesh Kedushin V'Yesh Avera. We said actually, we said actually in the second category of the Mishnah, we said that where there is kiddushin and there's no avera, then the child follows the pogrom. So we said, for example, a mamzer marries a bas yisrael or vice versa, then the child follows the parent who's a mamzer. So Tosfos says, so why would we think otherwise over here? If we say here that kiddushin aren't Tosfos, why would we not think that the child follows the mother? She's the pogrom compared to the father. The father is a yid, she's a shifcha or a goita. So, and Tosfos answers that no, what it means is, how do we know, not so much how we know that he follows her status in the sense that he becomes an eved. How do we know that he's not considered the father's child for any purposes? Not, for example, as far as yashining him, for example, as far as becoming tome for him, yibum, etc. Which in fact is the case. So we learned back in Yevamos, for example. We said if a man has a child who's a mamzer, nevertheless, that patters his wife from Yibum or Chalitza. However, if he has a child from a goita or a shifcha, then it does not. That child is not considered his child at all, even though biologically it's his child. So now, the Tosfos says, that's really the Gemara's question over here. How do we know that not only Vlada Kemosa, that the child inherits the status of the mother in being an Eved or being a goy, respectively, but that he's not considered the Jewish father's child at all? And the answer is, the Amakra, because the Pasuk says, Ha'isha biladeha tia ladeina. The Pasuk describes the case where an Eved Ivri is allowed to have relations with a Shifcha Knanis, but, and the Pasuk says, when he leaves, then Ha'isha biladeha tia ladeina. The woman and the children belong to the master, the woman being a Shifcha Knanis, she still belongs to the master, and the children do also, because they inherit her status as Avod. So there you go, then. They're considered full avodim, and they don't go free with the father because they're not considered related to the father at all. Okay, no, so that takes care, fine. So now we've taken care of both things as far as a shifcha. We've shown that kiddushin are not tofus with a shifcha because imachamur, and we've shown that the child follows her because her isha v'ladeh ha'tiyah l'adeneh. What about Nochris Minolon? How do we know the same din applies to, how do we know the same two dinim apply to a goita? And after all, the Gemara points out elsewhere, you can't say you learn by a mamatzino from the shifcha, because after all, the shifcha has no yichus at all. To a certain extent, the child of a shivcha, even though we said he inherits her status as an eved, to a certain extent is not related to her at all in halacha. For example, we just said that a shivcha or an eved is ama derma l'chamer. What would happen, for example, if a shivcha is freed and her son is freed as well? La halacha, they would actually be allowed to marry one another. Either mother and son, but it doesn't matter. They're considered like behemoths, in the same way with behemoths, there's no problem mating one with the other, regardless of how genetically they're related. The same thing it would be over here. So therefore, the Gemara elsewhere explains, we can't say, therefore, that once you know from a shifcha, you can learn from it to a goy, because a goy, after all, does have yichus to his parents. Earlier in the Masechta, we learned, for example, that a goy yaushens his father min haTorah, based on various psukim, so a goy is considered to have more of a relationship with his biological parents. So then, that being the case, we need to know how, nevertheless, kiddushin are not tofus with her, and the child inherits the mother's status. So the answer is, the Gemara says, omakra, because the pasuk says, v'lois ischatin bom, you should not marry, the pasuk says, omakra, lois ischatin bom, the pasuk says, you should not marry them. Now that implies not only that you're not allowed to, but also the whole concept of marriage does not apply with a goy. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos has some problems with that. Adarab of the Gemara and Yevamos learns from that it means that even after somebody from the seven nations that the Pasuk is referring in context to the seven nations of Canaan, and it's saying that even after they become a ger, you're not allowed to marry them. So Tosfos says we're not really learning from the words lois ischat en bom. We're rather learning from the continuation of the pasuk bitcho leisitim levnoyu vitcho leisikach levnecha, where the pasuk says you're not allowed to take his daughter in marriage for your son, and you're not allowed to give your daughter in marriage to them. So the leisitim and leisikach implies that there's no kicha, there's no kiddushin possible with them. And Tosfos goes on to point out, you could say one of these psukim is telling us the chatchila and the other one the b'dieved, one telling us that you're not allowed to do that kedushin in the first place, and the other one saying that even if you did, it's ineffective. So therefore, so according to Tosfos, that's how we learn it. So that's how we learn kedushin are not Tosfos with a goiter. Well, the Gemara says, ashkachna deletapsi b'kedushi. Okay, so now we found a proof that kedushin are not tofus between a Jewish man and a goita. Vlada kamosim anolon. Where do we get that her child follows her status and is considered a goy? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai, De'omar kra, because the pasuk continues that if you allow your son to marry a goita, ki yosiris bincha me'achai. The pasuk goes on to say that he will remove your son from following me. So the Gemara brings the limud, and then we're going to discuss Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim have several different ways of understanding what the limud is. But we learn from that pasuk, bincha bami Yisraelis, kore bincha, your child who comes from a Jewish woman, even if the father is a goy, is called your son. But the one who comes, your descendant who comes from a goita is not considered your son, elabna, rather he's considered her son. Now, what is the limud over here? Rashi explains like this. The pasuk says that you can't have your daughter marry a goy's son, and you can't have his daughter marry your son. And then the pasuk, ki yosir es bincha. Now, why does it say specifically bincha? Why not ki yosir es bitcha? So therefore, what it means is that the bincha refers over here to your grandson. So it's saying that if a goy marries your daughter, the problem is ki yosir, that father, that goyish father, will remove your son, meaning actually your grandson, from serving Hashem. But it doesn't say ki slosir es bincha. So therefore, that implies that when it's a goyish father and a Jewish mother, the child is a Jew, and then there's the concern that the father, the goyish father, is going to dissuade him from serving Hashem. Namely, he's going to tell him, be like me and come worship Avodah Zarah and whatever. And the pasuk is concerned about that, because you're going to have a Jewish boy who is being taught to worship Avodah Zarah. But the pasuk is not saying ki sosir es bincha, so Rashi learns the limud the other way around. If the mother is a goita and the father is a yid, the child is not a yid anyway. So therefore, you can't say ki yosir. How is he going to be removed from serving Hashem? He's anyway a goy and he's anyway not serving Hashem. So therefore, from that we can learn then that there's a difference between whether the father is a Jew or the mother is a Jew. That's how Rashi learned the limud, and Rishonim explain within what Rashi is saying that the Ramban explains that why don't we say according to Rashi that bincha refers to your own son? You could say because your own son is a grown up, he's less likely to be convinced to do something different than he grew up doing until now. So the concern is more about your grandchild. And since the pasuk phrases it ki yosir rather than ki sosir, then we learn from that where the father is a goy, the child is still a Jew, but where the mother is a goy, then the child is not. That's how Rashi learns the limud. Tosfos has some questions about that. And so Tosfos explains differently. First of all, Tosfos says the word bincha can in fact mean your son, the one who might hypothetically marry the goyta. And the point is, ki yosir would refer to the father-in-law. The goyish father-in-law is going to remove your son from serving Hashem. Not like Ramban says in Rashi, that the son is a grown-up and he won't, and he'll continue to do as he said before, as he was doing before. No, his goyish father-in-law is going to convince him to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, why does the pasuk in that case say bincha? Why doesn't it say zaracha or something like that, which would refer to the descendants as well? Because it stops there. If the man is a Jew and he marries a goita, the children are anyway goyim, so there's no sense in talking about yosir as zaracha. There's no zaracha because they're not considered your children. So that's another way of learning. Then Tosfos says another way of understanding is ki yosir would in fact refer to the case where it's a goyish woman and a Jewish man. But what we mean is, again, ki yosir can refer to the goyish father, to the goyish father of the woman, And what it means is he will, ki yosir es bincha, means that he'll remove that your son, what would have been your son, from this relationship is not considered your son because he's removed from being part of the Jewish people. Meaning, in other words, in effect, the Pasuk is saying that you have three generations over here. You have the Goyish father-in-law, you have his daughter who marries a Jew, and their child, the Pasuk is saying, he would have been bincha, like this, you have a son's son, and he would have been considered bincha, but now he's kiyosu, he's removed from the Jewish people entirely because the chain has been the chain is broken and he's not considered a yid at all. Kiyosir would not mean like in the previous explanation that he removes him from serving Hashem, as in he's a yid, but now he's being convinced to worship Avodah Zarah. Rather, kiyosir means he's being removed from the Jewish people entirely. And in fact, the Rambam learns much the same way. The Rambam learns the Limud in much the same way. He says that the Rambam has an expression, you're going to think. He says that this matter of a marriage between a Jew and a Goy, how bad can it be? There's no specific missus based in with it. Even Kores in it is only Medivere Kabbalah. We learn it from words of the Nevi'im rather than the Psukim. Nevertheless, the Rambam says it's a terrible thing because, as the Pasuk is saying over here, Ki Yosir removes the child from Bechlal being a Yid. At least if it was Mamzerus or something like that, the child would be a Yid, albeit a Mamzer, but now he's being removed from being a Yid altogether. So we have three different ways of understanding the Limud and the Gemara, but that's how it is then. So when we always say that the Yiddishkeit follows the mother, that's based on this Gemara over here. Okay. So Omar Ravina, so Ravina says, you can learn from that. Shmamina ben bitcha abamina ovid kechavim kore bincha. You can learn from that, therefore, that the son of your daughter who comes from a goy is considered your son, or rather your grandson. Meaning, in other words, that if a Yid's daughter marries a Goy, it's also to do. Nevertheless, the child is still considered a Jew, and therefore he's still considered Bincha. In other words, again, Rashi says, so according to Rashi, the vort is that because the Pasuk is not, the Pasuk is only addressing the case of Bincha, who was, because the Pasuk is addressing only the case where the mother was a yid, but not the case where the father was a yid, and saying ki yosir, that implies that in the first case the child is a yid, whereas in the second case the father was a therefore there's no ki yosir. And again, according to Tosfos, the two explanations, we're going to explain the answer, and we're going to explain what Ravina is saying similarly. One of the points that Tosfos had against Rashi's explanation is, according to Rashi's explanation, Ravina is not really adding anything to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan had said that only if the child is from a Jewish mother is he a Jew, and if he's from a Goyish mother, then he's a Goy. So what is Ravina adding? That's why Tosfos prefers one of their other explanations, according to which Ravina is telling us a chiddush that we didn't realize before. We said before that the child of a Goyish mother is considered a Goy. We didn't say explicitly that if the mother is Jewish, then the child is Jewish. Now Ravina is saying we derive that by looking more closely at the Pasuk. Well, the Gemara asks, name of Kasavar Ravina, Ovid Kechavim, Ve'evid, Abba Abbas Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. Does that mean, though, that Ravina wants to tell us that if the father is a Goy or an Evid and the mother is a Bas Yisrael, that the child will be a Mamzer? Why would we say that he's a mamzer? In other words, we would say if we said he follows his goyish father, then we would say that he's considered a goy, and if he becomes a ger, then he's regularly mutter lover b'kahal. Now, if you're telling me, Ravina, that he follows his mother, but this is an example of yesh avera, and we said before in the Mishnah, in the third category, where ain kedushin v'yesh avera, where there's no kedushin possible, because, for example, arayas, and there is an avera, then the child is a mamzer. Based on Ravina's rule over here, shouldn't we say the same thing is true over here? In fact, actually, there's a different Gemara where in Yevamos where the Girsa is that and Rashi. So Rashi says over here we have to be Gerdas Havlad Mamzer, but there is actually a Gemara in Yevamos where all Gemaras instead have the Girsa Havlad Kosher. Is Ravina coming to imply that the child is actually kosher? So the answer is not necessarily Nihida Kosher Lehabi Mamzer Lehabi. Actually, what it is the child won't be full fledged kosher, but he won't be a Mamzer either. Posel Mikri. And be considered posel. So, for example, if a Jewish mother and a Goyish father have a daughter, that daughter is also to marry a Kohen. But other than that, and so it's considered possible, but it's not considered mamzer or kosher or anything like that.
If the married kohen would be alive.
So it would be alive, yeah, because should be considered the pashtus azoina or halala or something. There is, by the way, a very interesting shita of the Maharit al-Ghazi, the famous Uli Achron, where he says that actually in this case over here of a Jewish mother and a Goyish father, he says it actually depends how the child ends up being raised. If he ends up being raised as a Yid, then he's a Yid. He learns that based on other Gemaras and things, that if the child is raised as a Goy, then he actually becomes a Goy. And he uses that to explain, as I said, it's an interesting shita. We don't follow it la halacha. He uses it to explain the famous case of Daryavish. Now, Daryavish was the son of Achashverosh and Esther. His mother is a Jewish woman, Esther. So how is it that he's considered a Goy? And we find clearly in other Gemaras where Daryavish is assumed to be a Goy. So he says, based on that, you know, he was raised in the palace, he was raised as a child of Achashverosh. The Pashtus's mother didn't manage to have very much input on his chinuch. So therefore he learns that's why, so again, the halacha does not follow that. The halacha is that a child in that case is considered a full-fledged yid. How it is that Daryavish is considered a goy is a whole other question. But one answer is based on, I think, on a zoyar or something, that it wasn't hers, it wasn't her herself. That every time it came to being with Achashverosh, she actually sent a shed instead of her. Yeah, whatever. One interesting nafkamina that the poskim achronim do talk about is, what about can you mal such a baby on Shabbos? Given that you do have certain opinions that say that maybe the child is not considered a yid, for example, the Maharit al-Ghazi, maybe at least the bris of such a baby should not take place on Shabbos. The Maharam Sheikh discusses this in one of his Trumas. Lamaisa, again, we're not noyig like that either. Lamaisa, as far as I know, that unfortunately you have many such cases where of intermarriages, but where the child is considered a yid, and as far as I know, they do the bris on Shabbos even in such a case. Okay, the Gemara goes back. So now, what are we saying? We said that how do we know that kiddushin are not toifus between a Jew and a goita is because, or the other way around, between a goy and a Jewish woman, because we said v'loy tischat in bom. The question is, hahu b'shiva goyim ksiv? So that pasuk applies to the seven nations of Canaan. Shar umas menolon. How do we know these two dinim by them also, that kiddushin are not toifus and that the child follows them? So the Gemara answers, Omakruk Yosiris Bincha, because the pasuk continues, they will remove your son from following me according to the various explanations that we just said what that means. It means that your grandson, who is a Yid, is going to be convinced to worship Abba Dazara, or it means that your son himself is going to be convinced by his father-in-law to worship Abba Dazara, or it means that what would have been your grandson has been removed from being part of the Jewish people. Anyway, but it says that expression, therefore the rabbis call him a Syrian, so therefore it comes to include with those words, Ki Yosir comes to include anybody who would remove the child or the parent or whatever from serving Hashem. So therefore it applies not only to the seven nations of Canaan, it applies to all other nations as well, because all of them have that in common. They're all not part of the Jewish people, and they all, at least in those times, worship the Abba Zarah. Well, the Gemara asks, Hanichal Rav Shimon, the Dorish time of the Krav. Well, that works out according to Rav Shimon, where Rav Shimon has a general rule where he darshins the reason behind a mitzvah. Now we find, for example, Rashi says, you have a mitzvah in the Torah, a sachbal beged almana. You're not allowed to take as a mashkan the garment of an almana. Now, why is that? So Rav Shimon explains, because we're talking over here specifically about a poor almana. We know the Torah says if you take a mashkin from a poor person, you have to return it to him every morning or every evening, depending whether it's something he needs by day or by night, yeah? If it's an almana, every day you're going to be visiting her to pick up the mashkin, and every day you're going to drop it off, and pretty soon there's going to be a shame rap, people are going to start spreading rumors. So he says, on the other hand, if the almana is rich, and you don't have to return the mashkin every day, then there's no problem with it. So we see that he's Dorish time of the Quran. We have other examples of it throughout Shas. So now, Rav Shimon, therefore, is going to say, given that the reason behind the mitzvah is because there's going to be a problem of the child being drawn to Avodah Zarah or whatever the other explanations were, then you can say, Rav Shimon would say the same thing applies not only to the seven nations, but also to everybody else. El Rabban and my time, but according to the Chachamim, what's the reason? They're not Darshin and time of the Krah. There is actually an interesting explanation. Now, Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara's question in that way, that according to Reb Shimon, it works out well that he would understand. It refers to all the other nations, but the question is, how do the Chachamim say, realize that it refers to all the other nations, rather than limited to just the seven nations, given that not Darshin and Taima Dekura. The Ran actually says that the other way around, the Gemara may be asking, according to Reb Shimon, who Darshin Taima Dekura, you can say, you know what, the seven nations are much more addicted to Avodah Zarah than the other nations.
That's why we have to be waiting more.
So, actually, sorry, I got that backwards. Rashi and Tosfos explain that the Gemara's question is, according to Reb Shimon, you could say like this, you don't need to say to Yosir in the first place, because according to him, once the Torah says, Lo Sischatin Bam, automatically, we're going to be looking for the reason behind the mitzvah, and we're going to find it. And then, so when it says Ki Yosir, then Reb Shimon can say it includes all the other nations as well. But according to the Chachamim, maybe you would say, Fakir, the seven nations themselves are very strongly addicted to Avodah Zarah, so therefore maybe the Torah is answering only with them, and saying Kiddushin aren't Tofus with them, and the child follows them. How do we know? It applies to other nations as well. So now, the Ran explains the question the other way around. Reb Shimon is saying, given that the Pasuk says a reason, and he's Darshin and Taima Dekra, so therefore he can say it applies to all the other nations. But according to the Chachamim, how do we know that it applies to all the other nations, and not just to the seven? So the answer is, Omar Kura, because you have a different pasuk. The pasuk talks about the Yifas Toya, the Acha came, Tove, Leo, Valdem, Gemmer, afterwards, after she's this guy, then you can come to her and have relations with her. Implying, Mekladim, Ikrula, Taxi, Bakidushin, implying that up until that point, Kiddushin would not have been Tofus with her because she's a Goita. And since that pasuk is not referring to the seven nations, because out of the seven nations, you're not allowed to chaya from the Shama. You can't have the Shavisa Shivya, you're taking her captive. So therefore we see that by other nations as well, then Kiddushin are not Tofus as long as she's a Goita. Udi and the Masechta, by the way, we had the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Is it that he's allowed the first relation with her while she's still a goita, and afterwards, though, if he wants to keep her as his wife, he has to be Megayer her, or is it that even the first relations are not allowed until she's Megayer? Either way, when the Pasuk says, then that implies she can only be your wife after she becomes a Giyotis, because until then, Kiddushin are not going to be Tosfos. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Ashkechon deloy taxi ba kiddushin. Fine, so that takes care of how we know that kiddushin are not tofus with her. Vladik mosim anolon. How do we know that her child follows her status and is a goy? Given that we said before, the pasuk lo sischatin is referring to the seven nations. So the answer is, Omakro ki siyena l'ish v'yoldu loy. Because the pasuk says, again, by the case of the two wives and the bechor being from the hated one, the pasuk says that if a man has two wives and the yoldu loy and they bear to him children, so therefore kol hecha the kurin ve kisiyena kurin ve the yoldu loy. Whenever there's a kisiyena, wherever kiddushin on tovus, then the child is considered his child. The kol hecha the loy kurin ve kisiyena loy kurin ve the yoldu loy. But if kiddushin are not Shayach at all. Now, we don't mean by an erva with Kiddushin or Shayach with somebody else. We mean where there's no Kisiyena possible with this woman at all because she's a Goita or a Shifta, and we already established Kiddushin are not Tofus for them, then we don't say Yoldu Loi, the child that they bear, is not considered his child. So therefore, that's how we know that Vladika Moise, even by other nations.
So in other words, the child is like the mother.
The child is like the mother, a Goita. So the Gemara asks Yochi Shifcha Nami. Well, in that case, we could learn that for the Shifcha as well. So we don't need the pasuk that we said at the top of the Amud, Ha'isha Biladeh Atiyah Abeneha, that we learned that in Shifcha Knanis and her children belong to her master. Now that we have the Kisiyen of Yoduloi, then we have that as the source for this din.
But
what are we doing with that other pasuk?
Well, Shifcha has to keep certain mitzvahs. She's already half of
them. Nevertheless, though, you would have to ask, though, still, how do we know that still there's no kisiyena? You still can't do kiddushin with her. Kiddushin are not shayat with a Shifcha. So therefore, you should have the same rule.
Same pasuk.
Same pasuk. So what do you need? A different pasuk. So the Gemara says, Enochanami, you're right. You can learn the din that a Shifcha's child is like her. You can learn from this pasuk kisiyena v'yolduloi. So what are you doing with that other pasuk? So like this, we use it to teach a different din that we say in a braisa. Suppose a man says to his shifcha, she's already pregnant, and he says, I'm making you a baschurin, I'm giving you a get shifcha, but I want your child to remain an eved. What happens? Have Vlad Kamosa divid of Yosef Levi. Rabbi Yosef Levi says that no, that won't work. The child is going to be freed just like her, because her isha b'yaladeh tiyah l'adonah. Only when she belongs to the master do the children. He or she is freed because he's giving her a get shechera. Therefore, automatically the children follow her.
Even though this is a condition before giving her.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Nevertheless, the condition is ineffective based on the pasuk. V'cham, I mean, Zvar of Kayam. V'cham say that what he said is valid. Mishum shenema ha'isha b'yaladeh tiyah l'adonah. So the Gemara asks, my Talmudah, how are you learning from that pasuk that it means adrabah, that pasuk goes against what the Chachamim are saying? Amar Rava adrab Yosei Agrivi. So Rava says that pasuk is not coming, is not the Chachamim explaining how they know their din. Fakir, that's Rabbi Yosei Agrivi explaining how I know that din. He's saying, because since the pasuk says, Yishav Yiladeh, Tiyah L'Adonah, it's impossible to have that the mother should be a Shivcha, and that the mother should be a Baschurin, and the child be an Eved. Because he's going to follow her status.
Uh-oh.
So the Chachamim are going to say that's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk is telling us about the general rule that a child of a shifcha follows her status. So they're going to learn some other din from it. But they're saying that yeah, like you said, since you have a tanai over here, then fine. Called tanai shem momentayim, and therefore it would work, and therefore she'd be a bas kohen, and the child would be an eved. Rabbi Yosi Agnuli, who disagrees, he's going to learn from this pasuk. That the child always follows the mother, and therefore it's impossible to have her be a shifcha and him be a shifcha. Okay. I think let's start the Mishnah and some of the Gemara on it, because we have big blot coming up the next few days, so we might as well. Some of it is Agadah, but even that, yeah, some of it is regular. So Mishnah says, Reb Tarfon Omi Yecholin Mamzerim Litar. Reb Tarfon says, you know what, even though we said before that a mamzer's child is always going to follow him, and that's true, whether a mamzer or a mamzeres, we said, because you always hold a chachar pogum, but Reb Tarfon says there is a way in which a mamzer can make his descendants be tohor. Ketzad, mamzer shenosa shivcha, if he marries a shivcha, which usually a ben yisrael is not allowed to marry a shivcha, so there is some discussion in Rishonim how this is. One point is that Rambam makes a point, for example, since the issur to marry a shifcha is primarily only drabbanan, then in this case, for the sake of the mamzer to be entire his children, then Chacham allowed it. And there are different other explanations in Rishonim how it would work exactly. Anyway, have Vlad Eved, the child is considered an Eved, because again, like we just said, he follows his mother. Shichrei, now if he frees that child, Nimsa ben Chorin, then the child is a ben Chorin, and he doesn't continue to have the status of mamzer. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer Omar is an Eved Mamzer. Rabbi Eliezer says you haven't accomplished anything. All you have is a kid who's both an Eved and a Mamzer, and even if you free him, he still retains the status of a Mamzer. So the Gemara asks, Reb Tarfon l'chatzchila kamer or di Eved kamer? When Reb Tarfon says that a Mamzer marries a Shifcha, does he mean l'chatzchila he's allowed to do that? Or do we mean he's not allowed to do that? But for the Eved, we would say that if he did it, then it works. In other words, the question actually says, boils down to, the Pasuk, how do we know that you're not allowed to marry a Shifcha? Because the Pasuk says, lo yekodesh b'vnei Yisrael, v'lo yekodesha b'vnei Yisrael. A kodesh or a kodesha means somebody who's kind of reserved for znus. So like a prostitute or something like that. So among others, it means, since by an eved or a shivcha, kedushin aren't tofus, like we just said before, it comes out every time a Jewish man or woman would have relations with them, it's considered znus, and therefore the pasuk would be saying you're not allowed to marry them. You're not allowed to set up a relationship which is going to be znus. So now, the question is, we would say, though, maybe that only applies to a Yisrael kosher, maybe to begin with that pasuk does not apply to a mamzer, or maybe not. Maybe he is, after all, a Yisrael. So Toshma, so we can prove like this. Omer Lord of Tarfon, the Chachamim answered back Reb Tarfon, you think that your idea is gonna always help? Doesn't really. Tihautas as chorim, like tihautas and akavis. All you've accomplished is you've been matahir, according to your mechanism, that'll work for any boys that are born to them. It's not gonna work for any girls that are born to them. Now why is that? Rashi says the Gemara at this point is assuming the boys are able to go someplace where nobody knows who they are. It's not so much a matter of, in other words, the Gemara is assuming at this point, not so much a matter of that the boys that their boys inherit their father's, their mother's status exclusively. We could say, maybe like Rebbe Eliezer says, they would have a status of Mamzerus. However, they have the advantage. They can always travel someplace else. Say, I'm just an Eved, and I want to marry a Shidduchim. As opposed to, or even the Mamzer himself. What we mean is, in other words, that a woman doesn't usually travel to someplace else and try to hide who she is and get married. So therefore, it sounds like Rebbe Tyfon is only saying b'dieved, because if it was machatchila, why shouldn't a mamzeres be able to do the same thing, marry an eved, and the children will be avodim, etc. So therefore, doesn't that show that Rebbe Tyfon is only talking about b'dieved? If the mamzer chooses to pretend that he's not a mamzer, but rather than eved, then he'll be able to marry a shifra. A woman, since she doesn't usually travel to other places, is not going to have that option. So,
marrying
so wait, right now the Gemara is assuming that whether he marries a Shifcha or whether she marries an Evet, the Gemara is assuming Reb Tyfon would have said that either way it helps clean up the children, and the question is a matter of practicality. A man can more easily do that because he can go someplace else where nobody knows where he is and claim that he's an Evet and married a Shifcha, whereas the woman cannot. That would imply that what Tyfon is saying is only allowed by the Eved. L'chatchila, if the Mamzer were to come to us and say, I want to marry a Shifcha, we would tell him, I'm sorry, you're a Yisrael, after all, you're not allowed to. And then in that case, then a woman would say, in that case, well, I have no choice, I have to stay put. I'm a woman, I'm not going to be traveling someplace far away and pretend to be somebody I'm not. Whereas the Mamzer, the man, would might well do that. So doesn't that show that Tyfon is saying only by the Eved? The answer is no. So the question is, if Reb Tyfon is saying l'chatchila, mamzeres nami tinos v'avda, then why shouldn't a mamzeres, by the same token, l'chatchila be able to marry an eved? And the answer is, that's not the problem. The problem is, eved ein lechayis. The eved, his children are not miyuchas after him. So therefore, it's not the matter of l'chatchila or b'dieved. If a mamzeres marries an eved, you haven't accomplished anything, because the children are not considered the Evet Zavodim. They're considered exclusively her children. Well, then they inherit her status as a mamzeres. That's what the Chachamim mean to Reb Tyfon. Your idea is going to help boys, but not girls. He doesn't mean the mamzer or the mamzeres themselves, the first generation. He's talking about a later generation. He's saying that you think that your advice is going to help, that now all of the mamzer's children are going to be kosher. Love of a call, it only works by a mamzer. It's not going to work by a mamzeres marrying an eved, because, and for that matter, it's not going to work by the mamzeres marrying an eved, because the children are going to remain mamzer. So we can't prove anything from that, whether a child from the same hachilu or the eved. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we'll bring another proof. From a case, Reb Simloi's host was a mamzer. Ushbezinche means like the innkeeper. You have the Chachamim would go out of town to learn Torah. They'd be staying or they'd be boarding by Balabakim in town. This particular Balabas who was hosting Reb Simloi was a mamzer. The Omalei said, Reb Simloi says to him, you know, Iyak de Mosach, it's too bad I didn't know you earlier. If I had known you before you got married, Tiav Tinu Levnach, I would have been able to tell you a way that, based on what Reb Tyfon is saying, that you could make your children Tahor. Namely, you marry a Shifcha, etc. So, Iyam et Beshlem al Hatchila, if you say that Reb Tyfon is allowing them to do this even the Hatchila, Shapir, well then we're good. Reb Simloi is saying, you know what, even the Hatchila you could do that. Eli, I'm a dieved, my nihu. But if he says that you could only do it by dieved, then what were you doing? Mansib like Eitza, my nihu. Then what would it be? Reb Simloi certainly wouldn't be saying, I would have given you advice to do an Aveda and to do something which is going to work only by dieved. So doesn't that show that Reb Tyfon's din is even a chachila? The Gemara says, no, not necessarily, because what would he mean? Dieved, the mansib like Eitza, it might mean that Reb Simloi would have told you, Zilgnoiv, go steal something from somebody, the Izdaban be Eved Ivri, and then you're going to be sold as an Eved Ivri, and then as an Eved Ivri, you're going to legally be able to marry a Shifcha. Because we learned before in the Masechta that you can. So maybe, as far as the fact now, Rashi says the Gemara could have asked at this point, okay, but it's an issue to steal. So still, if the point is, Reb Simloi is saying, I could have found a way for you that's completely mutter, then how would it help to tell him to steal? Okay, Rashi says that, look, the Gemara is going to anyway give a better question, that there was no such thing as an Eved Ivri by Reb Simloi's times. But different other Mephoshim talk about maybe you could find ways in which it would be mutter. Maybe you prearrange with somebody that that you're going to steal, and then but you're doing it with prearrangement with him, and therefore it's not considered stealing. There's other explanations. Agos Ma'arav Ranshburg brings over here a point that you also have to have, he anyway has to be married to a Jewish woman beforehand, we learned before, in order to have a Shifra Knanis. So one thing he brings from the Taz, who says, when the Pasuk says, Im Adon of Yitzhak Ma'isha, that the master can give him a Shifra Knanis, he learns that it means if the guy is already married, the master is allowed to even Bal Korchai. But if he's not married, then he's still allowed, but only Biritsoina, only the Eved has to agree to it.
Oh.
So that's how the Taz learns that even if he's not married, there is a possibility of him marrying a Shifcha Knanis, but it would have to be Biritsoina, the master can't force him to that. And there's a lot of other discussion about what the Gemara is saying over here. There's another possibility, maybe even if he was Moichar Atzma, we learned earlier in the Masechta, there are opinions that even if he sold himself as an Eved, he'd be allowed in the Shifcha Knanis. So the point is, Rav Simoy is saying there would have been some other way of arranging this. So in fact, the Ritva says that that's why when the Gemara says zilgnoy, he doesn't mean literally to steal. He just means, in other words, to sell yourself as an evadivri. Which one of the ways that a person becomes an evadivri is by stealing, and then you'd be allowed to marry a ship of knives. So therefore, that could show that maybe the typhon zin is only b'dieved. If the guy becomes an evadivri, however it is, then he's already lachatchila, he's allowed in a ship of knives. But otherwise, it would only be b'dieved. If the mamzer marries a ship of knives, which he wasn't supposed to do because lo yakodesh, then his children would be tougher. However, the Gemara asks, you can't do that anyway. Was there such a thing as an Eved Ivri by Reb Simloi's times? The whole concept of Eved Ivri only applies when Yovel was Noyig. Now, the mainstream understanding is that there was Yovel only during most of the time of the first Beis Mikdash, that once Shevet Reuven and God and Chatzi Shevet Menashe went in Golos, then there's no more Yovels, with one exception during the times of Yeshiyahu. We learned in Gittin that Tosfos had said over there maybe they did observe Yovel during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, at least the Rabbanon. Maybe in fact you had enough members of all 12 Shvatim back in Eretz Yisrael for them to be chayiv in Yovel again. Be that as it may, Reb Simloi lived long after the Churban, so for sure there's no Yovel in his times. Therefore, of necessity, we have to say what Reb Taufin is saying is lachachila. And Reb Simloi is telling this guy, you wouldn't have had to do any isser to marry the shifcha. You could have married her lachachila, completely beheter, according to Reb Taufin's heter, and your children would have been kosher. And he's saying, it's too bad I didn't know you beforehand to tell you to do that.
How can we marry
beheter? So that's the thing, because we say, even though there's an isser of loya kodesh and loya kadesha, that a Jew is not allowed to marry a shifcha or an eved marry a Jewish woman, but a mamzer is an exception. He's not in that category. So again, one way of understanding it is it isn't Issur D'oraisa, but Reb Taufin is saying there's an exception for mamzerim. Another way of understanding it is an Issur D'rabbanan, and the Chachamim waive that Issur for the sake of the mamzer being able to become Tohen. So therefore, so that shows Reb Taufin is an Hachila. Shmamina, that proves it. And Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kereb Taufin. In fact, the Halacha is like Reb Taufin, and therefore the mamzer is allowed to do that. So now we said before it won't work for a woman mamzer because it won't work for a mamzeres because if she marries an eved it doesn't help, the children still follow her, but for a male mamzer this kind of thing helps. He could have a shifcha knanis. He could have his own or somebody else's shifcha knanis, have relations with her, have children, and the children are avodim, and then he can free them and they become Yisrael and Gemorim. The halacha is like Reb Taufin, that then the status of mamzer is gone.
He has to first
have relations with her while she's a shifta.
Right.
Otherwise, if he frees her first, she becomes a Bas Yisrael, then you're back to the problem of a mamzer marrying a Bas Yisrael, where they inherit the status of mamzeres. No, like this, what we do is the child is considered an eved, because we said before he inherits his mother's status, she's a shifta, therefore he's an eved. Now, when he's freed, there's no mamzeres anymore, because all he was an eved. Now again, the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Eliezer says not. And nobody's here yet anyway, we may as well finish up the parak. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, how is the Eved Mamzer? Rabbi Eliezer says it doesn't help. All you have is now you have an Eved who's also a Mamzer, so you haven't really gained anything.
So, the son, you mean?
The son, yeah. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, now you have an Eved who's also a Mamzer, and if you free him, then he's a Ben Yisrael who's a Mamzer, so you haven't gained anything. Yeah. So Omar Rabbi Lazar, my time of the Rabbi Yezer, the Omar Kura Loi, because the Pasuk says, the Yoda Loi Bonin. The Pasuk says that she bears to him children. So the word to him means, it's rather by a mamzer. We say gamder asino lo yove loy b'kalashem. The word loy there is extra. So we learn from that holachachap suloy. You always go according to the one who's more possible. So it's true that a shivcha's children are considered avadim, but nevertheless he also has a relationship with his father, and therefore he still retains the status of a mamzer. So the Gemara says, v'rabbanan, what are the chachamim answer to that? Hahubi Sril should not the mamzeres. That pasuk is talking about when Yisrael marries a mamzeres. Not we're talking about over here when an eved, when a shivcha marries a mamzer. And why do you need the pasuk to say, you would think that since the status of what shevet a person belongs to goes according to his father. So you would think, therefore, that in this case where Yisrael marries Mamzeres, maybe also he should go exclusively according to the father. Also, the Pasuk Loi comes and tells us that no, this is an exception. When you have Yisrael marries a Ksheira, then sure, the child goes according to his father and he belongs to that Sheira. But when Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, he's going to go according to his mother and be a Mamzer. That we learn from this word Loi. If a Yisrael marries a regular Bas Yisrael, then we say the child inherits his father's status. His father was from Shevet Reuben, he's from Shevet Reuben. His father was a Kohen, he's a Kohen, etc. But if a Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, the word Loi, Gamzer Asirel, Yavir Loi, the Kal Hashem, is telling us that it follows her status, or rather it follows the posel between the two of them. Since she's the Psula and he's the Kshera, then it follows her.
Which means a mamzer.
So therefore he's a mamzer. So the Chachamim say that's what you're learning from that word loy. Not like Rabbi Yezu is saying that even if a mamzer marries a shivcha, you also go according to psulim. So what does Rabbi Yezu answer to that? He says, look, lav afagav dechsiv l'mishpachosim l'veis avosim, also loy apke. Look, so what are you telling me, Chachamim? That it does say l'mishpachosim l'veis avosim, that a child's status follows his father, as far as what shevet he's from, but we also have the word loy that excludes it. Well, hochanami, the same thing when it comes to a mamzer and a shivcha. Afagab diksiva ishavi vadea tia vadeneha. The posuk says, yes, that we said before, the woman and her children belong to her master, meaning that they're considered avodim like her. Also, loy avte. So Rabbi Eliezer says, nevertheless, you can say the word loy makes an exception to that. That if the father was a Yisrael, then yes, the children are considered exclusively hers, and they have no status from the father. But on the other hand, if the father is a mamzer, they're going to inherit his status of mamzerus, because the word loy by gamder asir lo yovei loy b'kal Hashem is going to tell us that.
If she's freed and she becomes a yid,
then so never mind she. If her child is freed and then becomes a yid, Rabbi Yezer says, nevertheless, he still has his father's status as a mamzer too. He's an eved mamzer, and if you free him, he becomes a ben chorin mamzer. So Rabbi Yezer is saying, the same way as you chachamim agree that l'mishpachosim l'veis avosim is not an absolute rule, you have the word loy by a mamzer that makes an exception to that. I'm saying the same thing by yishavi l'adel to yiladinel, that the word loy creates an exception to it.
And what is the exception?
The exception is that if a mamzer has relations with a shifa, then the child retains the status of mamzerus.
Of the father, yeah.
V'rabbanan, so what are the...
This is when she's still a...
When she's still a shifa, yeah. V'rabbanan, and the chachamim answer back to that, no, that's different, because kol vladim e shifa knanis ki vladim e behemadam. When you have a child in the womb of a shivcha knanis, it's the equivalent of, we said before, amadom al-hamar. It's like an animal in its mother's womb. So therefore, it's not considered to have any yichus to its father at all. So you can't say, they say to Rabbi Yezer, you can't say that the word loy by the mamzer creates an exception to that, because this is different. When you're talking about a yid marrying a regular Jewish woman, or a yid marrying a mamzeres, then fine, you can talk about, look, they're not considered a behema, so therefore you can talk about the child having a relationship to the father. But when you're talking about a shifcha over here, given that it's considered a behema, then therefore you can't say that the word loy creates any exception to that. You have to say that no, the child exclusively follows his mother, has no relationship to his father at all, and therefore that, like Rabbi Tarfon says in the Mishnah, the child would only be an Eved, no trace of Mamzerus, and as soon as you free him, then you're good. Hadron Alachorin.
This is the part where I was confused. What is this machine, a guy or an Eved? because she was sold as an orphan there about
the No, so what we're saying is, you were talking, so what we're saying is, the Shifcha Knanis, now what the Chacham are saying ultimately is, a Shifcha Knanis, her children are considered exclusively hers. That the father is not considered to have any relationship with these children at all. Therefore, even if the father was a Yid, and even if the father was a Mamzer, then they don't inherit any of his status. The same thing with a goita. We said if a Jewish man has relation to the goita, same thing. The child is exclusively a goy and is not considered to have any relationship with his father at all.
Ask out to Evan, what that changes that here, that of the behema, whereas we said by a goy that the status.
Because we said a goy is not completely considered like a behema. A goy, after all. The difference is, because by an Eved, specifically, we have the expression Amad Doim Lachamor. By a Goy, we don't have that so much. When Avraham is addressing and saying Shvul Lachamperim Lachamor, he's addressing Eliezer and maybe some other Eved of his, as the Ritzvah says, and therefore he's saying to them, you're Amad Doim Lachamor. By a Goy, we don't specifically find that concept. We have other psukim that we said before on some Achesim and Beis, how we know Kedushin aren't Toifas with them, and the child follows them. Now, we do say to a certain extent to Vlad B'mei Behema, in the sense that, again, if a Jew has relations with a goita. So in our Mishnah, for example, Reb Typhon's din would work with a goita as well. The difference is that a mamzer is also to marry a goita. When it comes to a shivcha, we're saying there's an exception and he's allowed to marry her. But it is true that if a mamzer were to have relations with a goita, then he would have the same thing. The child is a goy, and it would be considered kivlad b'mei behema dami, and if that child now becomes a ger, then he would be considered a regular yid and not a mamzer. Reb Typhon is not mentioning that, because we said, Reb Typhon wants to tell us a way that will be mutter l'chatchila, rather than a way that's only b'dieved, namely a mamzer marrying a goita. But it is true, it would work in that case as well. To that extent, we would say it's considered kivlad b'mei behema dami.
What makes a Eved, he sells himself, right?
Well, there an Eved Knani, no, it's not necessarily he sells himself. An Eved Knani could be captured in war, he could be the son of a shivcha, he could be all kinds, he could be, he voluntarily sells himself, doesn't really matter. As long as he's a goy, he's able to.
Not a status goy, makes him
an Eved, because then, well, you know, the point is that he's chayiv in some mitzvahs, because he accepted some mitzvahs on himself, but nevertheless, he still retains the status of a behem. Yeah, but so ultimately we're saying this that we're saying over here in the Gemara, the Vlad Behemadami, it will be true of a goita as well. It will be true of a goita and a shivcha. We're not mentioning a goita over here because again we want to find a way that the mamzer can do it in a way that's mutter, in a way that's mutter l'chatchila. But it is true, the same din would apply if a Jew has relations with if a Jewish man has relations with a goyish woman. It is true the child is considered exclusively the mother's and is not considered the father's at all, based on the psukim that we said before. Yeah, I should play a hard one.